And I love it because I think about this church being Spirit-led. People praying in a little house back here. Somebody else praying where they're supposed to be the pastor and get off the bus and walk to that little house and knock on the door and say, you know what, God told me to come here and be your pastor. And they said, good, because we've been praying that you would be our pastor. Spirit-led. And so what does that mean? Well, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And as I talked last week, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit needs to have all room in our lives. Now, there's two characters inside of us. The Holy Spirit character, and then there's, in my case, the Jim Caruso character that really is quite different than the Holy Spirit one. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we looked at this last week. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I wish that the fruit of the Spirit was love, and then it was in sections, you know, like joy, peace, and all those kind of things. And I was hoping that when I thought if I used an orange, then I could pull those sections apart, and there'd be exactly in every orange the same amount of sections. And that didn't work, so I thought I'd be the one that stumbled across that and let the whole world know, but it didn't work. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love and all these things, and they're not optional. Okay, that's the thing is, well, I like joy or I like peace, but I don't like long-suffering, or I don't really like to love everyone. I mean, that's pretty encompassing, isn't it? Come on, God. Really, there's some people in my neighborhood that I don't really love. I didn't love that person on the way here to church that cut me off or budged in front of me in front of Tim Hortons. What a horrible thing to do. We need to have that character all the time. We need to have his character all the time. So we're going to look at this today. In Exodus 39, it talks about the gifts and the character or the fruit. And so in 39:26-27, it says, and they made bells of pure gold and attached them around the hem between the pomegranates. The bells and the pomegranates alternated around the hem of the robe to be worn for ministering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And I think I have a picture here, maybe. So you can see there are little balls of wool that are kind of make look like pomegranates. How many eat pomegranates? Do you like them? There are lots of seeds, right? Like, they're crazy. By the time you get them open, and you're tired, so you don't eat them, you know? You can buy them now. You can buy them shredded, so you don't have to do anything. You just eat them. And then your mouth goes like that. It's like alum powder. Just kind of you can't talk for a while, which might be good for me. But around the bottom of the hem of those who ministered were this. Can you imagine? I was thinking about that. I have that on and I'd be walking and be dingle 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 dingle, dingle dingle dingle. And if I walk, it'd be better if you just stood still. But between each pomegranate, there was a bell, and the pomegranate is the fruit. That's what it represents, the fruit, because, and I'll show you a picture in a minute, of the pomegranate, because it's a beautiful fruit, full of seeds. But the bells represent the gifts, because the gifts can be seen and heard. The fruit is only seen. The pomegranates represent the fruit of the Spirit, and the gifts are represented by the bells. Well, you think, oh, that must be just for pastors. No, actually, in Ephesians 4, it says that apostles, teachers, pastors, prophets, and evangelists, I got them all in the wrong order, are gifts to the church to equip those who minister. So guess what? You're the dingles. What do you think about that? You're the one that gets dressed in the morning with your gifts and with your fruit. And you go forth and you make some noise in this world and you draw attention to the Holy Spirit. That's the whole idea. And then as you draw attention to the Holy Spirit, somebody gets in an opportunity, you get close enough to somebody to tell them about Jesus. When you tell them about Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes over and woos his heart or her heart. And that is so important. Maybe some of you are here wondering, what does that mean? I've never experienced that. Hopefully, by the end of the sermon, you'll understand a bit more about that, because that's the most important decision you'll ever make, is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. You see, fruit is seen, and gifts are heard. The fruit is who you are. The gifts are what you do. And that's way different. Who you are is really important.
Well, you know, I'm just cranky because that's my nature. I'm Italian. I got this anger problem because I'm Irish.
Well, you gave that up. You have the character of the Holy Spirit, not the character of your birth family.
Well, you don't know. You don't know how. You don't understand. That's just part of my DNA.
Well, don't let that become more powerful than the Holy Spirit's DNA in you. You need actually to need to be a different person. You need to be a person who represents the Holy Spirit, a person that is seen as someone that draws people. Now, I don't mean you're going to be all warm and fuzzy and you never get angry and you know, you just kind of walk around and nothing bothers you. But I'm talking about being authentic, being who you are in Christ and letting Christ come through. So it's not, we're not going to talk about what you do, we're going to talk about who you are. If the fruit of the Spirit is being, the gifts of the Spirit are doing. See that many seeds in there? That's prolific. The fruit of the Spirit is prolific. The fruit of the Spirit is what draws you, or actually draws people to you. It's the fruit of the Spirit that drew you to someone to find out that the Holy Spirit is ministering in your life. My friend was a great guy, and he had this anger problem because he went blind as about a 32-year-old, and he was really angry about this, and he said, you know what, this is what God gave me for Christmas. And I didn't know what. I didn't know what that meant. I wasn't a Christian. And he said, you know what it is that I'm just blind now and I can't see anything, and I'm really angry at God. And he was the funniest guy, had the greatest sense of humor. He's a great guy to be around. And all of a sudden, he turned to be kind of a crotchety, angry person. And with good reason. Two little kids and wife. Couldn't work anymore. Not much work for blind welders. I was a welder, and that's how I met him. And then, through prayer and love and somebody showing the character of Christ, he came to know Jesus Christ. And he changed. His character changed. He went back to being who he was and more. He was fun, and he was so optimistic, and he just was a great guy to be around. He drew you in. And when he led me to Jesus, the testimony when I got baptized was, he stood up and he says, it's the blind leading the blind. Because I was spiritually blind and he was physically blind. And he prayed that I would come to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. It was his character. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have been drawn to somebody who's a flake. You know what I mean? Somebody who did one thing or said one thing and did another. I wouldn't be drawn to somebody who was always angry.
Well, I play.
Like, come on. Like, would you like to spend eternity with that person? Like, where are we going to go away from there? Like, I want to go eons away from somebody who's cranky and angry all the time. And I understand that because I was cranky and angry for a lot of years. But when you let the character of Jesus Christ change your life, you become more Christ-like. That's what Christians are. Did you know that? Christ-like. Not Pentecostal-like. Not Anglican-like. Not Baptist-like. None of those. You want to become Christ-like. And honestly, I don't know whether I see a Jesus that I really think that the world portrays. I've seen lots of paintings, I've seen lots of movies, and there's not too many. The only one I really like is in the book of Matthew, and Elaine says that's because he was an Italian. I thought he was pretty real. I think Jesus was all man. I think he was straight shooter. I think he was a guy that had fun. I think he hung out with people and loved them into the kingdom. They were drawn to him, not just because he had blue eyes, because I don't think he did. Blonde hair and a bit of an English. All right, Peter. I don't think so. I just think that Jesus would have been a good guy to hang out with, because he was fully God and fully man. And he had that character that we need to have in our lives. So fruit is being. Fruit of the Spirit is an outer garment we wear reflecting Christ inside. You got to put it on. You got to put it on. It's different than the armor of God, but you got to put this on. Isaiah 61:10 says this, "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." This is what it's all about, is that you are something that represents Christ and someone that represents Christ, and people are attracted to that. You're not religious. Is there anybody in here that's religious? Ain't going to work. I remember pastoring a congregation where this one guy, all he did was speak in King James, and all he did was quote scripture in King James. Can you imagine how fun that is, going for coffee? He honestly never said anything, never even said good morning. He just quoted a verse in King James. Well, I'll tell you, I just couldn't wait to get over there. And he was a mean tyrant. He was a religious man. And I believe that he loved God, but there was some character defects there. We don't want to have character defects. We want to have character, the Holy Spirit given character in our lives. Ephesians 3:26 to 28 says, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." You put on Christ. I tell you, you wouldn't want me up here when I was 19 preaching. Especially on a Sunday morning, because Saturday nights are pretty rough. I wasn't very Christ-like before, and I was very Christ-like on Sunday morning. So I clothed myself with Christ when I became a Christian. I've wrapped myself in those garments of salvation. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? I love this congregation because there is no one any different. We're all representatives of Christ. And this is just kind of a preview of what it's going to be like in heaven. Isn't that great? See, Spirit-led character is who you are, not what you do. So how do we be and not do? That's pretty hard for us in our society, especially because there's performance issues. If you do things, people look to you as successful. If you can quote lots of scripture, if you can do all the things right, if you can say all the things right, if you can just be that person that represents all by doing, some people are fooled by that into believing that your character is okay. And then there's people who move into gifts powerfully in the gifts, and they're kind of people you don't want to be around. And they're kind of people that are even committing sin because they got character flaws. So you see how distinct and how important character is. Character is critical because you want to reflect Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:15-17 says, "God is love." It doesn't say God does love. It says that in other scriptures, but it says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. So if you live in love, if you live in Christ, then he lives in you. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. The world's here, and we have an accuser of the brethren, it says so in Revelation, that comes against us day and night, accusing us of all sorts of things. And sometimes it's tapes that we have play over and over and over and over again in our mind. Right from the time we were little, those words of negativity come into our mind. Those are lies from the pit of hell, and you need to take those thoughts captive, and you need to stand on the Word of God that says, he that is inside of you is greater than he that is coming against you. And he who is inside of you is love. That's it. He is love. So, character, you don't have to draw on it by yourself. You can draw on it from him. 1 John 14 and 15 goes on to say, in this world, we are like Jesus. We should be like Jesus. This buddy of mine, who was a drunk, I used to party with him, I used to fight with him, we used to weld together, we used to do all sorts of things together, became a Christian, and then I started to walk in Christ with him, and he was like Christ. So much different, and I started to become like Christ. I'm not there yet. But I'm trying really hard. This is the action of being love. Not doing it. Being Christ to a lost world. And we need to understand that if we're that Christ to the lost world, I don't know about your heart, but when Nepal, that earthquake, I wanted to go there. I wanted to comfort those people. I wanted to help dig people out. I wanted to help feed them. I wanted to do all that kind of stuff because that's the compassion that's inside of us from Jesus Christ. And we all can't go over there because of the whole logistics would be crazy. But you have that inside of you because Christ lives in you. And you want to be Christ to a lost world. We have only a certain amount of time before Christ comes back for his church. You think about that? I don't know. Sometimes I get so caught up in, like, it's not going to be that much of a shock for me to go to heaven now because I live in Steveston, and I'm pretty sure that's just kind of you know when they build these big apartment blocks, they have these show houses? Well, Steveston's the show house for heaven, so if you haven't been there, just come out there and you just can book a room. I'll lead you to the place where you can book a room. It's really easy. Just say, hey, Jesus, come into my life, forgive my sins, and you got a room in a mansion. And you think some of these buildings are nice? Nothing. Nothing at all. Honestly, we need to be understanding that we need to be so Christ-like that we can touch this world. Where do we touch this world? Do we go overseas? Do we go to Victoria, like salt water? You know what? It's in your neighborhood. It's in your family. It's in your grocery store. It's where you get gasoline. It's where you pick up your mail. It's just being Christ. And garage sailing, being Christ. Elaine and I, we met so many people from the church in the last couple of days. We're garage sailing. We met people, and I said to Elaine, we can't fight. We can't be cranky. Somebody might know us. Right? Now, we don't have to consciously say, okay, let's not fight until we get home. That's not the way it is, but we need to be more like Christ so that you're like Christ when you don't know people are watching you. That's when you do the best, okay? That's when character really comes out because you're not trying to perform for anyone. But it does keep me on my toes. And please, that's something. If you see us and we don't recognize you, it's not because we're ignoring you. It's probably because we don't know who you are. We're trying to get everybody to understand, but this is a large congregation, so please introduce yourself. Say hello. We love it. We're so blessed to be pastors here, and so introduce yourself. Don't think that we don't care, because we do. Spirit-led character is love. God is love. And out of that abundance that he is flows love for all his creation. What is love? What is this love thing? If we're going to be love, what is it? Love is patient. This is 1 Corinthians. This is the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. How many of us are patient? How many of us are patient with our spouse? No hands, no nudging. Okay? He's talking to you. Love is patient. What about your kids? Do they think you're patient? Come on, get your room clean now. Gotta get it now. What are you doing? We're all waiting in the car. Beep, 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 beep. What are you doing? Nothing. That's what they're doing. Get used to it. Patience. Love is kind. Are you? In every situation, are you kind? Or are you kind of cranky? You should be kind. It does not envy. Oh, man, I have a hard time with that one. Every time I see, and I said it before, every time I see a nice, flashy Ford 4x4 F-150 blue drive-by, I try not to envy. I know it costs a lot of money to drive them. I know it costs lots of gas. I know all that, but oh, are they ever nice. So I don't, as I said before, don't want theirs, because that would be envy. I want my own. That's the only way I can get around that scripture. It doesn't boast. Love does not boast, and we can't boast. We have nothing to boast about but Christ inside us. That's what Paul said. You know what? Hallelujah, I can sing. Hallelujah, I can make money. Hallelujah, I can take beautiful photographs. Hallelujah, I can do all. No, you can do that because Christ is giving you the ability. And he's honed that talent. I remember lots of times and when we were first saved, somebody would do a beautiful special, music special, and then and some churches you weren't allowed to clap because that would be taking away from God. So the person leaves. And then when you say, you know, that was awesome. Well, yeah, it's all. Oh, yeah, well, God did it. No, he didn't, because I've been in a church when God was there and he never sang to me. So the reality is that you don't need to boast in yourself because you'll have enough to boast in Jesus Christ. You'll have enough to boast in. Let him do stuff in your life and you can say, you know what God did? He did this and this and this and this. Because that's what he loves to do and he gets the glory. And it's not proud. Ever been proud? I've been proud. Quite proud of myself. One time as a paramedic, my boss said to me, we're having this Employee of the Year program. And it's just brand new, and there's a lot of other guys, but I've only been there like 3 years, and he says, but you're one of our... This is something you don't want to tell. You're one of our outstanding employees, and so we can't give you the prize for being the best employee of the year because we have a bunch of other guys that have been there longer, and so we're just going to kind of work in it. But next year, that's what he said to me, next year, you're going to be the employee of the year. I was really proud. And so I worked extra hard. Because I knew that 1 year they're gonna give a big banquet and they're it almost sounds like Esther, doesn't it? And they were gonna give this big banquet and then they're gonna give us a couple like a weekend away and we're gonna have this and I was gonna be above all the other paramedics. I was gonna be singled out as the best employee of the year. And they only ran the contest for 1 year. And I thought, like, that really ticked me off. Because I was there. Only the contest wasn't there. Yeah, God has done a lot of work in my life in the whole area of pride. It does not dishonor others. If you speak down to someone, if you level someone, if you destroy them, That's not Christ-like. You don't dishonor someone. You can correct them. You know what? I really have a hard time, or I did have a hard time, with anybody correcting me because I figured that they're attacking my character all the time. Matter of fact, I wouldn't let anybody read anything I wrote, especially if they were an editor. I have a friend of mine who was an editor, and he says, "Hey, Jim, because I've written another book, and I haven't published it yet, but I want to, and it's all about kind of my growing up and stuff. I call it From 0 to 60 in 57 years. And it's just a whole compilation of crazy stories about my life in Crazyville. That's where I lived. And I wouldn't give it to this guy because I felt that this guy was going to just rip it apart. And if he ripped it apart, he'd be ripping me apart. And God doesn't want you to dishonor people. This guy wouldn't have done that. But I was afraid. And that's a whole other topic. We'll talk about shame some other time. Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It's not self-seeking. It isn't about you. It's about him. So whatever you do, whatever you have, whatever you are, is about him. You want to buy your house. You want to get your education. You want to buy your 4x4 pickup so you can use it for Jesus. And I would. I would. You want to do that because you don't want to do stuff that's self-seeking. You don't even want to have the hot ministries, you know, like you're the one that lays hands on the people and they get healed. They go under the power. If that's what you want, don't go there. If you need to be up front, don't go there. Just don't go there because what it'll be is all about you. And that's not good character. It's got to be all about him. Never be self-seeking. God, love isn't. And it's not easily angered. How many? I mean, I use this all the time when I'm doing a wedding. We go through these and everybody goes, "Yay, yay, not me. Not easily angered." Come on. Your spouse knows. You could, if you want, after, just pull Elaine aside and say, "How is this guy for all the stuff he's talking about?" She endured some pretty wicked years of anger as a pastor's wife until God got into my heart and changed my character and brought some healing into me. If that's not good in your home right now, let God change your character. Let God heal the brokenness so that you're not angry anymore, that you're whole. Keeps no record of wrongs. Marriage counseling is great. There's a little formula we can use called fight fair. You're going to fight, right? Well, maybe some of you wouldn't, but a lot of people I know, including myself, we fight. Not so much anymore, right, Wayne? Because one time, when I was in this heated discussion with Elaine. You know that called intimate fellowship? It's like intense intimate fellowship. And you're actually beside yourself because you're so angry. And then I realized that I was wrong. Oh, man, that's really bad. And I'm still arguing for my case, and I know I'm wrong, and she knows I'm wrong, and God knows I'm wrong. And I said to her, and you need to know your opponent and make sure there's no sharp objects around. I just said to her, "I accept your apology." Now, either that could be the last thing you ever said before you went unconscious, or it can be the thing that diffuses everything, because she said in these profound words, "You're an idiot." And so there was a lot of truth being spoken at that time. And I was an idiot. But, you know, if we do get to that little place where it starts to escalate, one of us will go, "I accept your apology." And it doesn't get to that point where you're losing ground. You know, if you're wrong, you're wrong. Fess up. Say you're wrong. That's really hard. But say you're wrong. Because God has the truth, and he'll, through your character, through his Holy Spirit, change that. and love does not delight. Just before I go off that record of wrongs, don't keep bringing stuff up, okay? That's it. Don't keep, well, you know, when you did this 27 years ago. I thought we dealt with it. I did deal with it, but remember when you did it? Well, I don't think you dealt with it. Don't you tell me! You've probably seen that in movies, but never at home. Don't keep records. Burn them. Shred them. Push them into cyberspace. I don't know, but do not keep records of wrongs, because Christ has never kept a record of your wrong when you've asked for forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, figure that one out. Lord, our love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Do not get to a place where it's so dark in your life that you think when something happens to somebody else, they deserve it. Nobody deserves anything in this world except the love of Jesus Christ in their life. The enemy comes in and destroys people's lives, causes them to do horrible, despicable, disgusting things. And we hear it on the news all the time. But that's not the character of Christ. The character of Christ is love. But rejoice with the truth. So what is love? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Always. All these things. And it never fails. My battery pack failed. I probably caused it to fail, but there's lots of things in our life fails. Christ's love will never fail you. Never fail you. Billy Graham said, you got to fight Christ's love all the way to hell. You have to fight his love all the way to hell. You don't have to be reaching out for salvation all the way to hell. You have to fight his love. If you decide not to come to him, you have to fight his love all the way to the end, because that's how much he loves you. Colossians 3, 12 to 14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's the character. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Actually, if you read in Matthew 6, and I don't know how to handle this, but I'll just tell you what it says. After the Lord's Prayer, it says that if you don't forgive your brother as God has forgiven you, then God won't forgive you. You won't be able to go to heaven. Do you understand that? You need to be forgiving people. You can't hold a grudge. You can't be unforgiving, because God is forgiving. And over all these virtues, all this fruit, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So the fruit is there, then you need to stretch this love jacket over them to hold them all together. That's what we need to do. See, that's the beginning of character, is love. God's love in your life. And we all have it. We all have the ability for that. Can you imagine that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son? That we shouldn't perish, but that we'd have eternal life. I'm a bit overwhelmed at that when I think about it. And he is telling one of the Pharisees, he is telling Nicodemus that. I just want to find that scripture about forgiveness here, because some of you are thinking, whoa, that's pretty heavy. Goes through in verse 14 of chapter 6, it says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. We never do that. We just all hold hands and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we all go, and then we sing Kumbaya. We should finish it. Because that's so important. And you know what? You're unable to forgive unless you have the character of God inside of you. I don't believe that forgiveness is even humanly possible. How's that? I don't believe that you can forgive humanly, that you need to borrow that forgiveness from God to apply to somebody that you feel doesn't deserve forgiveness. And that's what love is. That's loving somebody who is very unlovely. You can love the lovely ones. They're easy. But it's the unlovely ones. And that's where your character shines. That's where your character shines. And when your character shines, Jesus is seen. Does that sound good? Every one of you in this room that knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior has this character inside of you. You just need it to come out. You need to be a transformer. Okay? You might look like a 69 Camaro, and then all of a sudden you go, right? Stomp, stomp. If you do that with the Holy Spirit, what people will see when you finally unfold, they'll see Jesus. You'll be transformed by the fruit of the Spirit. You'll be transformed into the character of God. Not God, but into the character of God, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Have the team come together here. We're going to spend a few minutes in worship here. I was praying about this service this morning, and I just want you to know that Christ is here, and that's because you're here. I mean, Christ is everywhere all the time, even when there's no one in this building, but what I'm saying is where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. Well, there's more than two or more here. He's in the midst, and it's not just that we gather together so that he'd be in the midst. We gather together to be in his presence, and maybe you're just visiting here. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you're wondering about this. Maybe you're hungry for this character to be in your life, this love and this peace and this joy and all the other things that come with that. Maybe that's something that you have been hungering for. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit is just moving in your life to say, you know what? You just need to respond to me. You don't even need to understand what this is all about, but you just need to respond to the Holy Spirit's wooing right now. And so what I want you to do is I'd like everybody to stand. And I hope this never becomes a traditional ritual, but I want you to say this prayer with me, because you know there's nothing any more important in this whole entire world than having Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that we were Spirit-led people. So I want you to say this out loud. Maybe it's the first time for you. Maybe it's 100 times you've already said this out loud. It's a reminder for those who already know. But it's the invitation to allow Jesus into your life if you've never done this before the Father. So I want you to say this out with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that you are love. And I ask that you would just come into my life. I want Jesus to be my Savior, my Lord, and my best friend. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I want to be more like you. And so I accept you as my Savior this morning. And I ask your Holy Spirit to start to change my life so that I'll be more like Christ. And people will see that and be drawn to you. And I ask and receive this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to go into a few minutes of worship. I think it's just about 12 o'clock. If you need to go, please, this is kind of the formal dismissal of the service. But if you said that prayer and you need to talk to someone, we have pastors up here. We have information for you. If you need prayer for anything with the prayer team, please come. People that come and pray for one another. We have oil here to anoint you. Whatever it is, we heard the Lord encourage you to do that earlier in this service. If there's some things that you need prayer for. That's what we're here. And so we just want to thank you.